Good morning, honourable members. I think we should start. It's 10 o'clock now. How far is the agenda for your transfer now? Do members have the agenda of this meeting? And let me welcome the department to this meeting. The minister will join us later, but I don't know. We today will be engaging with you on your APP. What are your plans for this financial year? Where are my binoculars? Okay. And then by the end of today, I guess as members will be knowing what the 26 universities will be doing in this financial year. We'll be knowing about the 50 technical and vocational education and training colleges. What will they be doing? What is their program for the year? And we'll be knowing about all the sitters and, you know, how you're going to support them, what is the budget for them, and what interventions are you going to make to ensure that there is uniformity in terms of the quality of what the colleges are offering. By the end of today, we'll be knowing what all these sectors will be doing, including the National Skills Fund, and of course the much talked about NSFAS. Each time the beginning of the year, we know there will be something in Pretoria with the TVET colleges, Dago Pitori. Welcome, Honourable Minister.
My apologies, Chair, we were getting lost.
And I'll start with introduction. You are, because we are meeting for the first time as the members of the committee in the 6th Parliament. But before I do that, let us take us through what the apologies for the meeting.
Good morning, honourable members, the minister, and everyone present in the meeting. I've got two apologies. One from Honourable Zube, he's on sick leave, and another one from Honourable Lehihi, she's got an emergency. Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome. The department, are there apologies on?
Chair, on my side, I wish to apologize for the Deputy Minister. He is abroad. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. Introductions. My name is Alec Mamagas and Chavele. I come from the province of Limpopo. I'm the chair of this standing committee. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Nobuzola Ndongeni from Eastern Cape. Siteta is a class. Thanks, Chair.
Good morning. My name is Otto Madeta. I'm from Mpumalanga.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, and colleagues. My name is Maren Shekile, and I'm coming from the Western Cape.
Ngozi Sihlalo, Manibulisa Mphathiswa Ngumbulelo Bhaga from Gauteng.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dalmaine Christians. I'm from the Northern Cape, a member of the committee.
Sanibonani, igama lami nguSilindiwe Ngwakalithuli, ngiqhamuka eKZN, ngilunga le committee.
your team minister.
Oh, sorry. Because I'm trying to write. Thank you very much. My name is Blaydon Zimande. I'm Minister of Higher Education, Science and Innovation, I'm told. not technology, but I'm sure this thing will be clarified at some stage. Thank you.
I'm Gwebs Konde from the Department of Higher Education and Training. Thank you.
Good morning, the name is Faisal Shoki. I'm in the Office of the Director General.
Good morning, my name is Tuli Hadel. I'm the Minister's Special Advisor.
Good morning, I'm Reineth Mgiba from the Planning Branch.
Morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Lulama Mbopo. I'm the Deputy Director General for Corporate Services in the Department. Thank you.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Members, morning, Minister and colleagues. It's Mahlubi Mabizela. I'm the Chief Director responsible for University Education Policy and standing in for my DDG, Dr. Parker, who is at the University of Venda today. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, Minister and Honourable Members and colleagues. My name is Greg Marshall, Acting Deputy Director General for Community Education and Training in the Department of Higher Education.
Good morning, Chair, Members, Minister, colleagues. My name is Lucian Kearns, and I'm the Acting CFO.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, and Honourable Members. I'm Hashila Nazi, Acting DDG for Planning.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Minister, Honourable Members, and esteemed colleagues. I'm Zugile Christopher Mosheshaba from Valo, DDG responsible for skills development in the Department of Higher Education and Training, 123 Francis Bass Street in Pretoria. Thank you.
Good morning, Minister, Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Monica Farrow. I work in the Office of the Director.
Honourable Members, morning, Chairperson, and the Minister. My name is Tamar Mutiha. I'm in the Chief Administration.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, Honourable Members, and Management. My name is Mbuyisi Matrikama, working with the Department of Higher Education and Training, responsible for the National Skills Fund.
Sabuli is our Honourable Minister and our member, Kamalamdu, Elbazis, PMO.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Minister, colleagues. My name is Ishmael Munisi. I'm the Minister MLO, Media Liaison Office.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Minister, Chairperson, and the Members. I'm Lung Soto Nixon, Secretary of State. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Tyson Goethe. I'm from the Office of the
Secretary to Ruth Mallet.
When you say fully introduce themselves, when everybody in the meeting who is here, there's the MCOP team education doesn't produce themselves.
Morning, I'm Lisa Bula, and I'm going to go back to the chairperson.
Yeah, good morning. Comrades, my name is Ndumza, the advisor to the committee. Yeah, good morning.
Morning, honorable members, chairperson, minister, colleagues, and let's take my name and the director for the committee.
I'm Lelutando Skaka, I'm the committee secretary.
Thanks a lot. I think as we progress, we'll be able to, you know, I'll be able to know people, their faces, link a face to a name. You know, sometimes you read documents and you see this name, you link a face to a name, then it makes life much easier. I'll give over to the minister to open, and then after that, the DG will give a presentation. This team is led by the minister.
Yes, thank you very much.
And start from the beginning.
thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Comrade Chabeleng, and honorable members of the select committee. Let me once more apologize. We went to the wrong committee room one, which is the one in 120 Plain Street. That's why we delayed, Chair. So my apologies. Firstly, let me just express my appreciation for this first appearance, which certainly won't be the last, before this select committee of the NCOP. And Chair, as you know, and honorable members know, we have come to present here our APP. It is indeed my honor to be afforded an opportunity to brief you on the plans of the Department of Higher Education and Training. Maybe I need to explain this, that I minister to two departments as things stand now, which is still the Department of Higher Education and Training that still exists, and the Department of Science and Technology, which still exists. They, at the moment, exist as two departments, but with one minister. Whether they will end up as one department or not is a matter that we will be dealing with during the course of this financial year. So what we are presenting here is the department's is the annual performance plan of the Department of Higher Education and Training. Chair, the APP is the annual performance plans are documents really for accountability that we present in terms of what we are going to be doing so that the relevant committees are able to hold us to that. And we also use it as a basis for ongoing interaction on different aspects of it. My own approach, Chair, and preference is that the committee should at different points in time indicate if they want us to come and discuss in some more detail a particular aspect if need be. I heard you mention a mess first, Chair. So if at some stage you want us to come and just talk about mess first for 2 to 3 hours with proper arrangements, we would be keen to do that, because today is an overarching presentation that will not be able to go into detail in each of the things that we are going to be presenting, which is something that I hope honorable members will bear in mind. Of course, that does not stop if members want to explore a particular aspect in a bit more detail, time permitting. We do this, by the way, not just as a gesture of compliance, not as what I learned later in my life, but which I used to do as a young man who was part of the Roman Catholic Church, that whenever you go past the pulpit, the front, I don't know what you call it, you always kneel. You know, you can't just go past if you're going across. You always need. It's called genuflecting. So we do not come here just to genuflect before the select committee. It's a serious matter. We're taking it very seriously that we are here because we want to present to the members and broadly, of course, to the citizens of this country. It's also an opportunity for us, indeed, to showcase progress we are making towards the achievement of the goals of the National Development Plan. Honorable Chair and honorable members, we have committed ourselves to ensuring that as a department that our country has a skilled and capable workforce that will support an inclusive growth path in a fair, equitable, non-racial, non-sexist and democratic manner. If I can just very briefly, because Chair, I will be handing over once I am over my initial introductory remarks to the DG and his team to then go through the various sections in a bit more detail. But I do need to say, as part of the background and the context, that our goals as a department, firstly, is to expand access to the post-school education and training system. Now, Chair, some of the members may wonder, why are we talking post-school instead of talking higher education? Maybe I do need just to explain a little bit that when in 2009, the old Department of Education was split into the Department of Basic Education to deal with schooling and then the Department of Higher Education and Training. The way the mandate of the Department of Higher Education and Training was defined was that it was a department that will deal with all South Africans who have either not gone to school at all or who have left school and are unlikely to go back to school. School as we know it. In other words, the department then defines its task as provision of what is called post-school education and training. That's why we use this concept, because we think it captures better what the mandate of the department is. All those who have never went to school, all those who have been to school, some have finished, others have not finished, and sometimes we call ourselves a department of those who have passed, as well as a department of those who have failed, because we still have to provide opportunities for those who may not have passed at school, but they may want a skill or they may want to further improve themselves and so on. I just thought that I needed to explain this because sometimes this causes a bit of a confusion. That is our mandate. So we want to expand access to that. It will become clearer as the detailed presentation is made. Also, our other goal is to improve the quality of education and training. But also another important matter which we would like the select committee also to really not drop the ball and focus on this is to improve success in the post-school education and training sector. Success of students, because sometimes, Chair, because of our history, there's always been emphasis on access even demanding access, but without paying particular attention to success as well. It's not enough just to access, but it's important that there is also success. We're raising this because this still also remains one of our biggest challenges. For instance, our statistics, DG, unless I'm left behind, indicate that about 40% of our first-year students at university, they fail. 40%. 4 out of 10. So it is a very big issue for us that we must also emphasize on success, not just access. Also, our other goal is to enhance the responsiveness of the post-school education and training systems to the needs of the economy and society in general, as well as improve the levels of equity. This still remains a huge task given where we come from. The inequalities, not only the inequalities that we have inherited, because people sometimes only speak as if inequalities is something that we have inherited or something of the past. Inequalities are still being daily reproduced as we speak now. So the issue of equity continues to be a very important matter in the system. I am pleased, though, that the department has been making some steady progress over the last 5 years in the achievement of these goals that I've just outlined. The annual performance plan also we are presenting, the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, marks the fifth and final year of implementation of our department's strategic plan 2015 to 2020. It's the end of the 5-year plan that we had adopted 2015 to 2020. Being the last, I believe it sets the basis for taking the post-school education and training system forward as we position ourselves to implement the priorities of the 6th administration. We'll share with you our plans towards the achievement of one of the seven priorities as outlined by the President in the State of the Nation address. We are part of priority 2, which is education, skills and health, focusing on the education and skills side of things. So that is what we will be sharing with you. What continues to be critical also is that South Africa needs to invest in the development of the right skills in order to strengthen its economic and social development. In an era of fast-changing skills demand driven by technological process and globalization, including what is now referred to as the Fourth Industrial Revolution, it is very important to understand the skills needs of the country. That's still the task of our department. We have developed a career advice, amongst other things, a career advice system to provide students, the unemployed and employed individuals, with information on available opportunities in education and training. The information provided here is designed to guide skills development in occupations that are in high demand. We have, for instance, published the 2018 list of occupations in high demand that are to be used, amongst others, to inform career development services, career choices, by the way, by our young people as well as adults, resource allocation and enrollment planning. Honorable Chair and members, as mentioned during my budget vote in the National Assembly some 2 weeks ago, our department has identified 13 priority trades and occupations comprising skill sets in the following areas, amongst others: bricklaying, electricians, millwright, boiler makers, and automotive mechanic. What informs us about this is a number of things. One is the necessity for these skills to be provided in requisite numbers in our economy. as well as to build capacity to be able to provide or to train for such skills. As the department, we have entered into service level agreements with a number of major industry partners and associations specializing in these trades, such as the Steel and Engineering Industries Federation of Southern Africa, the Retail Motor Industry, the Institute of Plumbers of South Africa, and the South African Institute of Welding, amongst others. These are our partners in the provision of these priority skills or occupations. And we have targeted 26 TVET colleges, technical and vocational education and training colleges, across the country, to empower them, to enable them to provide these skills with the requisite levels and quality. I must say this without taking much time, Chair, that from our experience, we have learned that sometimes things that we take for granted as if they are skills that are available, it's not actually the case the moment you start digging deeper. I always like to make example with welders. We sometimes think that welders are everywhere. You know, because in a typical township, you go around the corner, you find a welder to come and do your burglar guns. You know? And you think, well, welders is an abandoned skill. It isn't, actually, when we are talking especially about the kinds of welders required by the economy, sometimes called coated welding, which is a very high-level skill. Yes, exactly, Chair, as you say. So the targeted TVET colleges are for these skills are expected to play a major role in this process, focusing on the development of artisans, which is one of our priorities as a department, required for large-scale projects, for instance, such as government's infrastructure projects referred to as strategic integrated projects, the SIPs, Operation Pakisa, which is our oceans economy strategy, the war on leaks. As you know, in South Africa, we have a problem of leakage of water everywhere, above ground, underground, you know, pipes that are no longer in good shape and so on. We have a program by government called War on Leaks and other strategic interventions that we have. Honorable Chair, as I move towards concluding my context, I just want to quickly go through what are perhaps some of our key deliverables, after which then I will hand over to the DG. We plan very soon to release a report on skill supply and demand in our country. It will be an important resource for planning and provisioning of education and training. We also plan, by the way, to release during this financial year, that's what is contained in this APP, a draft regulatory framework for university fees, so that we are able to regulate the fees that students charge. This derived from our experience in the past, that the more money we pour into NSFAS, some universities will then increase the fees, such that we end up chasing what do you call it? Is it a mirage? Something you never reach, you know? So then there was, at the height of FISMAS 4, an agreement that we must regulate fee increases in our universities. But do it in a fair, objective, and transparent manner. We'll also be developing guidelines for student funding for the Department of Higher Education and Training bursary scheme for students. Maybe also let me explain this a little bit, that since the early 90s, when NSFAS started as TEFSA then, the Tertiary Education Fund for South Africa, it started even before 1994, pressure that our first president, Nelson Mandela, put on the apartheid regime at that time, after 1990 that we do need to support poor students. It was a loan system that we started until 2018. In other words, students who were earning, who came from families earning a total annual income of not more than 122,000 rands then, qualified for a loan, which they were expected to pay back once they qualify. Now, since 2018, that has changed quite dramatically. We have increased student, the numbers, the categories, let me put it that way, of students who qualify to include all students who come from families who are earning not more than 350,000 rand total annual family income. And also, it's no longer a loan, it's a bursary. They don't have to pay back. We do need to develop guidelines on this during this year, because the manner in which the scheme, unfortunately, was introduced, it did not deal with a number of other things that should have been dealt with as we were introducing. But the DG and the team will provide the details. I don't want to go into that. We will also be supporting 50 academic and professional staff at universities to undertake doctoral studies through our university, what we call University Capacity Development Program. I might as well just mention on the side, Chair, that one of the things I'm going to be releasing this year is a report of a ministerial task team that was appointed some 2 years ago to look into the obstacles and how to overcome those in producing black and women South African academics. It's a big issue that. It's also not unrelated to these university capacity development programs in terms of increasing doctoral programs. There's still huge inequalities in our universities, for instance. Some of our universities have got, for instance, less than 20% academic staff with PhDs. There may even be some with less than 10% actually, especially your former black university. Yet some of our top universities, if I can use that word, you'll find that their academic staff way beyond 50% have got PhDs. So this university capacity development program, which we are saying we're going to have 50 doctoral programs, partly aims to deal with that. Also, our planning branch will be developing regulations for TVET colleges to strengthen the regulatory framework that governs the colleges. We'll also be initiating a process of strengthening capacity of the community education and training colleges. In short, we prefer to call them community colleges. These are what were adult education centers in the past. Our intention is to turn these into broader than just your traditional adult basic education and training centers, which used to focus largely on those who have left school but who want to continue with their formal education. That's what your APET centers in the main were doing. We are saying the needs of South African adults are much more varied than that. You may find a 40-year-old lady who left school in Standard 5 who is really not interested in doing Standard 6, Standard 7, but wants to acquire a skill, either to be a good baker or to do sewing or to do whatever. So we aim through these community colleges to be able to respond to those kinds of needs. We will also be putting in place systems to ensure, I heard you talking about the CETAS, Chair, the approved National Skills Development Plan, which governs, amongst other things, the goals, targets, and things that our CETA system is operating. Once more, Chair, I'm very thankful to the Select Committee. Sorry if I've taken a little bit long, but I just thought this being the first meeting, perhaps I need also just to explain some concepts we use and why we use them. And also that the department will soon present its first quarter progress report in its performance on the commitments we've made. As I have said, Chairperson, one thing I've learned in being a minister is that ministers normally, I prefer that we do easier things and the more difficult things, like a detailed presentation now, you hand it to the officials, and that's what they are paid to do. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Member.
Just a little bit, that there's a problem with the projector, so I'll request members to follow the presentation from the copies we have. Maybe we need somebody from Achiever to come and help us with fix it. Thanks. Over to you.
No, thank you very much, Chair, Minister, Honourable Members. My colleagues in the department, as well as in the ministry and everybody in the house. The presentation is mainly focusing on the 2019-20 annual performance plan of the department, which is the final financial year in respect to the strat plan, as the minister has alluded earlier on. The presentation outline, slide 2, we'll just talk briefly on the mandate of the Department of Higher Education and Training, the post-school education and training landscape, the budget of the department, its structure thereof, the 5-year goals of the department that we determined from 2015 to 2020, an overview of 2019-2020 annual performance plan, as well as program level plans and targets we are always assessed on. And the last point would be on the budget of the department in this financial year. If you look on slide 3, Honorable Members, in respect to the mandate of the Department of Higher Education and Training, is mainly derived from Section 29 of the Constitution, which states that everyone has the right to basic education, including adult basic education, and to further education, which the state, through reasonable measures, must make progressively available and accessible to all South Africans. The 2014 to 2019 medium-term strategic framework, popularly known as MTSF, entrusted the department with the responsibility of ensuring, as the minister has already explained, a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path for the country. The national plan then for post-school education and training identifies the following 6 goals for the PSET system. When the white paper for post-school education and training was developed and approved by the minister, we then worked on the development of a plan that would see the implementation of the white paper for post-school education and training. Therefore, the goals that have been explicitly expressed there is to expand access to PSET, improve responsiveness of the PSET system to the world of work, improve interface between PSET and the world of work, improve the quality of PSET, improve the efficiency and success of the PSET system, and to build an integrated and coordinated post-school education and training system that would ensure that you don't train youth into cul-de-sac. There must be pathways throughout various components of training that are taking place in the system. Slide 4 is mainly talking on the overview of the post-school education and training. These are institutions, entities, quality assurance bodies, professional bodies, as well as other organizations that are within the remit of post-school education and training. There are various categories of them. The green blocks there are only indicating organizations that are located within the department. It would be your National Skills Authority Secretariat, your National Skills Fund, and others. The blue one, it's mainly quality councils. These are the organizations that are located outside of the DHET and which receive funds from the department sourced from the national fiscal. The red one, in the main, are the organizations that are located outside of the department which do not receive funds directly from the department, but for which the department has certain legislative function on them. Your private institutions out there, colleges, as well as other training facilities, including Umalus, is falling in that within that category. Now, the grey one, it's mainly professional bodies. They are falling within our remit, but they are not getting funding from the department as well. It's just a high level of what is actually constituted within the portfolio of higher education and training. Now, slide 5 is talking to the vision and the mission of the department, of which the vision is to leading post-school education and training for growth. And we seek, therefore, as our mission to provide national strategic leadership in support of the post-school education and training system for improved quality of life of all South Africans. The values we ascribe to, the list is endless, but in the main, integrity, accountability, commitment and responsiveness, proactive behavior, continuous learning, rationality, teamwork, emotional intelligence. Now on slide 6, we are talking here about the program structure of the department. The first program is administration. The second program is planning, policy and strategy. The third program is university education. Fourth program is technical and vocational education and training, which is constituted of TVET colleges. The fifth program is skills development. The sixth program is community education and training. Now on slide 7, we are talking about the DHET budget program structure, which is headed by the executive in the form of our minister, the deputy minister, constituting the ministry, and then the department and all its components. So our staffing complement is standing at 27,970 at the present moment. The staff in the department, as well as in technical and vocational education and training colleges, and community education and training colleges. They fall directly within the Department of Higher Education and Training in terms of the budget. In slide 8, we are talking about the current strategic plan, that is 2015 to 2020. And the minister has actually alluded to quite a number of areas here. But the goals that we worked out there, it sounds steering mechanisms, improved capacity and services, strong stakeholder network, excellent business operations in the department, as well as good oversight. Now, the main areas of focus over the five-year period covered mainly in the strategic plan are the steering mechanisms development and implementation in order to improve the performance of the system. And we do this through legislation, regulations, policies, as well as intense monitoring and evaluation of what is happening in the system. Ensuring that access to education and training of the highest quality, as the minister explained earlier on, that there are no barriers in receiving education and training, especially in relation to disability, gender, race, geographic location. And this is expressed in terms of budget allocations as determined by the Minister of Higher Education and Training. The provision of teaching and learning support, infrastructure development and maintenance, oversight monitoring in order to ensure responsiveness of the education and training system and its facilities thereof. Slide 9 is just an overview of 2019-20 annual performance plan. We are getting closer to what we do in a year within the strategic plan that we have developed. So the current five-year strategic plan, in it, this is the last annual performance plan for the period that is under review, as the minister indicated earlier on. And the focus is of the core delivery programs in the main. The core delivery programs in the department, its universities, TVET colleges, skills branch, community education and training. That's what everybody out there, the public, is interfacing with on a daily basis. This is to ensure oversight on system performance in terms of access, success, transformation, including governance and other important areas that would ensure that the performance of the system is enhanced and is of quality. The development of mechanisms to address deficiencies or challenges in specific areas identified in the system. Continue to provide teaching and learning support, oversight on the various funding grants, infrastructure development and maintenance as well. The key delivery outputs of the department for 2019-20 include, that is slide 10, to ensure filling of vacancies, resolving disciplinary cases, payment of invoices from creditors and the achievement of a clean audit opinion from the AG. To produce oversight reports on the PSET system in respect to institutions and entities that are within the oversight remit of the Department of Higher Education and Training. These areas would include institutional governance, teaching and learning, examinations and certification in TVET college programs, the financial health of universities, research outputs of universities, institutional funding grants, partnerships that our institutions need to foster in order to produce better quality outcomes, student leadership capacity development, infrastructure development, regulatory compliance of education institutions, including the private higher institutions, national skills development strategy, as enshrined in the Skills Development Act, career development services and open distance learning, social inclusion in higher education, amongst others. The development of steering mechanisms, which would be in the form of policy, legislation, as well as relevant guidelines, but in this case the minister indicated that we need to develop guidelines for the bursary scheme, taking into consideration that when it was introduced there wasn't enough time to ensure that there are guidelines in place all the mechanisms that were there were mainly interim, just to get the ball rolling for 2018. As members would recall, that the announcement to roll out free higher education and training for students from working class and poor families was announced on the 16th of December 2016 for implementation for implementation in 2018. Basically, you were in the middle of December for implementation of such a huge mandate in January 2018. It was a tough exercise for you. Number four, produce management information and statistics on performance of the system. Produce research reports to inform decision making in relation to policy planning and institutional funding, because our belief is that all the policy interventions that develop, that government makes should be based on evidence. Now, the following slides are talking to the program level plans now. The first one would be program three, that is university education. The objective of the branch is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory frameworks for an effective and efficient university education system, provide financial support to universities, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, and the National Institutes for Higher Education. The key NDP 2030 targets that the branch seeks to achieve are increasing student enrollment in higher education to 1.62 million per annum, produce and retain a new generation of university academics. I will elaborate on this later. Transforming the historical and social composition of the academic workforce. We then seek to ensure that 75% of academics at public universities should have PhDs in all of our institutions. And also 100 additional young black and or women entrants to workforce per annum, and also increase the number of doctoral graduates from universities to 100 PhDs per 1 million per annum, that is 5,000 per annum at least, in order to ensure that we keep the standards quite comparable to the countries that are of our size. Slide 13, we seek to produce a draft regulatory framework for university fees to regulate fees universities charge their students. I think the minister elaborated on this one, why we think this is important. Develop guidelines for student funding for the DHET budget scheme for poor and working class students at public universities. So in the main, the funding would ensure that all students that are receiving support from government are funded full cost of tuition, including learning material, and subsidize other staff, for instance, accommodation as well as transport where required. Develop guidelines on international scholarships offered by government departments. Members may perhaps recall that there are some challenges in respect to students from South Africa that are studying abroad, sent by municipalities, provinces, by other government departments. But when there are problems in the countries they are at, the problems then are referred to DERCO and the Department of Higher Education and Training to resolve, whether they relate to funding or other social issues that are confronting those students. Then, against this background, government took a decision that this question of international scholarships from the country needs to be coordinated properly. So there is a structure which is working on that at the present moment. Develop ministerial statement on university enrollment for 2020 to 2025. So the ministerial statement would actually entail enrollment targets and outputs that the minister has determined for the university sector, which would then be cascaded to each and every institution. Develop a plan for piloting the central application system for universities in order to ensure that at some point a student would have to apply only once to all institutions in the country, not to apply to all 26 institutions when you want, you know, admission in one of them. So the central application system is looking at establishing a central facility where all applications from students will actually be processed for any university in the country. That is the work which is currently going on at the present moment. Develop a plan for piloting or produce oversight reports on financial health of universities, institutional governance, effective use of the infrastructure and efficiency grants for 24 universities, effective use of new universities earmarked grant, private higher education institution compliance with the regulations, research outputs of 26 universities, foundation provisioning grant, ministerial enrollment planning targets, university capacity development program, teacher learning development capacity improvement program, and the cohort study report on higher education, and BRICS partnership report. There is work that we are doing with the BRIC countries. Revise and approve the student leadership capacity development program. And more importantly, allocate 100 new generation of academic program lecturer support to universities, of which 80% must be black and or women South African citizens under the age of 45. Perhaps the background to this, one of the things that we established in the department in 2014 was that the aging cohort of academics in the system were around 60 years of age, which then the minister had a view that if we are not developing a program to intervene in this situation, maybe 5-10 years down the line we are going to face a huge crisis of not having academics to lecture or to teach in our institutions. And at that point, a program called Staffing South Africa's University Framework, which was approved by the minister in January 2015, was developed. And under it, it has had various components. The key one, which was anchoring this program, was the development of new generation of academics, whereby we allocate a certain number of posts for all our institutions and instruct them to identify up and coming academics to be absorbed in those posts on permanent basis, and they be given a support whilst they are in there. But also a related program is the nurturing emerging scholars program, which is actually looking at identifying highly capable students whilst they are still studying, who are academically sharp and would have an interest or persuaded to have an interest in the academia. And post finishing, after they've been supported through tutorial work and other support systems, then they are persuaded to get into the new age of academics program. And the other program, which is related to that, is the existing academic staff capacity enhancement program, which is looking at lecturers who are having honors, masters, to pursue studies towards the attainment of PhDs through the dedicated support from the department as well as institutions. And the other program, whilst they receive PhDs, then they are supported also through a dedicated program towards being professors. So those are the programs that are actually looking at ensuring that we address the question of the shortage of academics, aging academics in the system, as well as the transformation of the system. The third bullet point is there. I thought I just needed to explain this a bit because it involves quite a number of interventions, as was determined in 2015 by Minister Nzimande. To support 50 academic and professional staff at universities to undertake doctoral studies through the University Capacity Development Program, it's just an emphasis. Implement 4 international scholarships program through international country level partnership agreements to assist students to study abroad. Slide 15 is talking to the actual target. Now, 2018-2019, you can see there is saying actual. What that actually means, these are the 2017 figures as certified and audited at an institutional level, because the auditing and certification of the figures at university is done in October of each and every year. So the numbers then that we report on are the numbers that have been audited. That's why there's always a year behind. Now, the number of students enrolled in public higher education studies, the target is 1,036,948. But the target for the 5-year period was the 1,070,000. And by the look of things, it looks we are going to meet this target. The second one, the number of eligible students obtaining financial aid. You can see there, 5-year target is 205,000. But the actual is 332,337. It's as a result of what the minister highlighted, because the sudden increase and the revision of the cap from 122 to 350,000. It then increased the number more than what was targeted. That's why you have the 332,337. The number of students in foundation phase programs, 21,289. The target is 35. We are doing 35,000. We are doing quite well. We'll be meeting that target. The number of universities accredited to offer TVET college lecturer qualifications. So the lecturers who are lecturing at TVET colleges do not have an appropriate qualification to lecture at a TVET college level, because there has never been a training of lecturers who are teaching or lecturing at TVET colleges. So we introduced this by working out a plan with institutions to develop dedicated training programs of TVET college lecturer, which had started. So we targeted then three institutions, of which the current institutions that have been accredited by Council on Higher Education, CHE, are six at the present moment. The target is 10, and it's looking that we are going to make that target as well. Now, in respect to success, number of graduates in engineering sciences from universities were at 49,869 at the present moment. This is an accumulative target. The target for the five-year period was set to be 57,000, but for 2019-20, it's 13,000, and we will be making that target. The number of graduates in human health and animal health from universities currently is a cumulative target. That is, over the past 4 years we have run through, it's 39,376. The target for the current financial year is 11,000, but for the five-year period, which is ending in 2020, is 45,000. We are proceeding well towards achieving that target as well. The number of graduates in natural and physical sciences from universities is 31,870. It's a cumulative target as well. For 2019-20, it's 9,000, and we are going to easily make it. The number of graduates in initial teacher education from universities, 2018-19, 87,000 is an accumulative figure. The target is 25,000 for this financial year, and we'll be making that target. The number of doctoral graduates from universities is 10,000 at the present moment, cumulative figure. The target is 3,200 for the outer year, for the entire five-year period, is 12,000, and we are proceeding well towards achieving that target. The number of research master's graduates, that is number 10. Thus far, the cumulative target is 30,524. Our target for this financial year is 8,100. The target for the five-year period is 34,000, and we're proceeding well into achieving that target as well. Percentage of success rates at universities. We're standing at 77% at the present moment. The target was 78%, and it looks we'll be making that target as well. Percentage of higher education undergraduate success rate, the target is 81% for the five-year period, 81%, where at 82% we've overachieved that one. The percentage of higher education undergraduate success rate, the target for the five-year period was 71,000. At the present moment was 67%. The target is 68%. I think we'll be making 30 target as well. Don't see any problem. In respect to institutional governance, percentage of proportion of universities meeting standards of good governance, 70%, we're doing well there. On transformation, percentage of university academic staff with PhDs, we're at 46%. It looks we'll exceed this target. We're doing quite well, our institutions. Number 16, the number of additional first-time entrants, black and women, to academic workforce in addition to normal replacement and plan. The target is the 100, but we are at 549 at the present moment. As a department, our target is 100, but we have an arrangement with each and every university that they must also look at their funds that they have as institutions and add on these numbers. So they've added more than what we have contributed as the department. That's why we're having 549 instead of 100. As a department, still meeting our target, but they are coming quite very well in supporting this program, of which we are very much grateful for that. Program 4 is TVET colleges, slide 18. The objective of the branch is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy, program assessment practices, and systems for technical and vocational education and training. The NDP targets are to increase enrollment in TVET colleges to 2.5 million per annum. It includes both public TVET colleges as well as private TVET colleges. Enroll 5,000 TVET students in need of support in foundation programs. Establish appropriate training opportunities for TVET college staff, that is 30% of TVET lecturers undergoing specified hours of work in their industry for specified periods every 2 years from 2019. What we are looking at achieving here is that the lecturers in TVET colleges, because teaching and training in TVET colleges has got both theory and practical component, then it becomes important also to afford lecturers an opportunity to be exposed at the workplace, what is currently happening there, as much as they would have to possess theoretical knowledge to teach, so that what they are teaching is what is corresponding to the needs of the industry or the private sector in the world of work. Establish TVET college campuses and expand as per demand estimates and agreements. This is expressed by the establishment of TVET colleges at the present moment. There are quite a number of sites in the country where construction is currently taking place, and there are plans also to roll out new construction in the coming years. To ensure that 65% of TVET colleges comply with approved financial governance standards, ensure that 70% of TVET colleges' maintenance budget is spent in terms of approved infrastructure maintenance plans. The TVET colleges received infrastructure funding for the first time in this financial year, which is 1.3 million, which then requires that capacity to roll out infrastructure at college level needs to be built up. And part of doing that, there are quite a number of measures and structures that we have put in place, but also releasing portion of this money for colleges to appoint project managers and facilities managers at college level in order to ensure that when a rollout of construction is met with the required capacity at college level, otherwise it's going to be, if that capacity is not built, it's going to be waste of taxpayers' money. So that is the intention there. All that work is currently happening at the present moment. Members would perhaps recall that even some universities are actually struggling to roll out infrastructure programs. We can mention a few in that respect. The other area is that all, that is 100% public TVET colleges, examination centers should conduct national examinations and assessments in compliance with national policy, issue certificates to qualifying candidates following publication of results within 3 months, revise TVET funding norms to steer the TVET system based on changes in landscape due to the phasing in of occupational program as well as fee-free higher education. So we are working with the QCTO to develop occupational programs that are gradually replacing your old NATED programs in the system. That's what that point is talking to. Develop CET Act regulations for TVET colleges to strengthen the regulatory framework and to align more with the PFMA. Produce oversight reports on the performance of TVET colleges in enrollment, teaching, and learning. The actual target, the number of headcount enrollments in TVET colleges is 687,955. The target is 710,535. We are proceeding well in meeting that target. Two, the number of qualifying TVET students obtaining NSFAS financial assistance per annum. You can see the target was 200,000, but we have exceeded it because of the new injection. We are 253,665 at the present moment. The number of TVET students enrolled in foundation programs is 368. We have just started this program for all those students who have not done well in math, science, who would want to enroll for NCV and other programs in TVET colleges. So we want them to start at a foundation phase program. We call it pre-vocational education and training program. So we are targeting to have 4,000 enrolled for 2019-2020, but for the five-year period as it is ending is 5,000. The center is certification rate on NCV level 4, 50%. The actual target that we have achieved, the target is 50%, but the target was at 40%. We have achieved that target. The center is certification rate of N3, it was 65%, we're at 76.8%, so we're doing well there. Percentage certification rate of N6, the target over the five-year period, 65%, we're at 96.1% at the present moment. So that target of 65% will make it. Percentage TVET throughput rate, the target is 36%, we're at 33.47% at the present moment. Percentage funded NCV level 4 throughput rate, the target 36%, we're 33.47% at the present moment. Number 9, the percentage TVET lecturers undergoing specified hours of work in their industry for specified periods. The target is the 33%, it's only 8%. 8.8%. We've just started this program in 2018. Now, program 5, that is slide 22, it's skills development. The main objective of the branch is to promote and monitor the national skills development strategy, develop skills development policies, and a regulatory framework for an effective skills development system. The key NDP 2030 target that the branch seeks to achieve in respect to artisan development is to increase the number of qualified artisans produced per annum to 30,000. The branch has prioritized the following for 2019-20. Put systems in place to ensure that the approved National Skills Development Plan is implemented by April 2020. Conduct strategy, policy, and systems analysis to inform the implementation of the National Skills Development Plan. Implement a skills education training management information system to collect skills information for performance reporting purposes. Key targets of the branch is to conduct trade tests within 60 days from the receipt of application. Two, register 30,000 new artisan learners. Three, achieve 65% trade test pass rate. Four, achieve 24,000 new artisan learners that are qualified. Five, produce oversight reports on the implementation of the National Skills Development Strategy by CETAS on a quarterly basis. And then the implementation of good governance standards by CETAS. So the performance indicators there, one is the number of work-based learning opportunities. The target was 140,000. Currently we're at 178,851. So that target, which is set of 165,000, we've already surpassed it. Percentage of national artisan learners employed or self-employed, we've targeted 80%, 77% at the present moment, according to our research. That's what we are achieving. Now, program 6 on slide 24. That is community education and training. The objective of the branch is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy, program assessment practices and systems for community education and training. The NDP targets to increase enrollment in CET colleges to 1 million per annum. I think the ministers gave quite elaborate background in this area. The target then for 2019, develop a report on the CET college sector performance for the 2018-19 financial year against targets set in policy, legislation, annual performance plan. Produce draft progress report on the CET college sector performance for 2019-20 financial year. We use these reports to develop intervention plans in the system. And this is still a baseline because these institutions didn't exist in the current form which they are established. They were initial adult learning centers, you know, that were over there. So this is a new institutional type in the department, if you like. That's slide 25. If I may just explain what is happening here, is that slide 25 to slide 31 details what we will be monitoring this financial year in this sector, in the main. So, hence we are talking about progress report on the CET college sector performance for 2019-20 financial year, which will be focusing on the implementation of these following areas: piloting the concept of community education and training, teaching and learning and support framework. So, not sure whether the chair would like me to go through each and every one, but in the main, that's what we will actually be monitoring. That's slide 25 up to slide 31. That's what we are talking to, basically. So if you look at slide 32, Chair and Honorable Members, the branch has also prioritized over and above the areas that we have identified for monitoring, which is still going to happen. The branch then felt it's quite important to look at strengthening the capacity of the 54 community learning centers. CLCs is Community Learning Center, slide 32, to pilot the CET concept over the next 5 years. So that is, you transition the current community learning centers into becoming community education and training colleges, where you will not be only offering RAEOU or 1, 2, 3, 4, that is literacy and numeracy, but also introducing skills programs that the attendees should actually be trained in. The second bullet point there is talking about developing financial management systems for CET colleges so that they comply with the standards set in the PSMA as well as the applicable regulations. So one of the things that we've done here, because these institutions do not have capacity, including the management of the funds that were destined to them, what we then did, we identified a college in each and every province where these monies in a ring-fenced fashion could actually be transferred to. Then that college would sign a memorandum of agreement with the respective CET college in respect to undertaking the procurement of goods and services and other related needs of the college, so that when AG comes, is able to audit and make sense out of those audits. Now, simultaneously, we are building capacity for these CETs to be able to manage their funds themselves. We have partnered with the AG as well as South African Institute of Chartered Accountants in building that capacity, because they are still new institutions. It's not the role that they have ever played. They were only under the auspices of provincial administration in the basic education initially. That's where everything was being done. But when they were transferred to the Department of Higher Education and Training, we had to devise mechanisms of supporting them. I'm just elaborating this question of management systems as well as finances in there. The third bullet point is that saying the development of norms and standards for funding TVET colleges. The next one is improving strategies for increasing access to and success in CET programs. The last bullet point, finalize the CET plan, which seeks to improve efficiency and effectiveness of CET colleges through the gradual rationalization and consolidation of community learning centers and satellite learning centers. The system targets in respect to community education and training colleges, still on slide 32. Number one is the number of headcount enrollments in CET colleges. 258,199, that's where we are, but we're targeting to increase that number to 340,000. Two, the percentage of certification rates in CET formal qualifications. The target is 45%. At the present moment, we're able to achieve 38%. Slide 33. We've worked out a breakdown per province and the percentage of the numbers, skills programs that would have to be offered there, what are the numbers in respect to the enrollment. Then the general academic is talking to what is currently enrolled there at the present moment. So the total in terms of the target is 340,000. But we made a breakdown per province. If you look between skills focus, that column, and general academic, the indication there is that more enrollment are still in academic programs, and it's less in skills programs. It's only 17,000. And in academic programs, it's 323,000. We wanted to change this picture in order to produce more skills than general programs that are in the academic. Therefore, in skills focus, we would want more figures there, because that's where the demand is in the main. That's where we are looking at going in the future. Slide 34, Chair. What we are saying there in the main is that in that slide, in order to deal with inequities in this area, as we have inherited it from provinces, we are developing norms and standards that will establish a baseline and the nature of programs that we need to roll out in order to change this picture that is there in the CET sector. So that bullet point, in April 2015, the national norms and standards for funding CET colleges were put in place as an interim measure when the function became a national competency. Meaning, therefore, we just had to improvise mechanisms to retain the status quo whilst we are working out. Bullet point number two is emphasizing that the draft policy on the new norms and standards and funding CET colleges was published on 12 April 2019 for public comment. So it's out there. We are actually waiting a feedback. In a nutshell, the new funding norms address issues relating to the following, amongst others: funding for personnel costs, both lecturing and support staff in colleges, non-personnel and non-capital funding, that is college operational costs, infrastructure funding, new and refurbishments that are needed, and ongoing maintenance that is required there. Program versus enrollment funding, earmarked funding, which is talking to special needs in education, rural, student support services, and others. Integrated funding to include other funding streams. Slide 35. The new policy will provide a framework for the distribution of funds such that, amongst others, the following considerations will be made both at national and institutional level upon distribution of the allocated budget: cost of programs, geographical locations, particularly for rural colleges, and distances between head office and community learning centers, the number of community learning centers administered by a college, current and projected number of student enrollment for expansion, programs and qualification mix that has to be offered in these facilities, conditions of existing infrastructure and assets, which would require maintenance and refurbishment, amongst others. Slide 36. Whilst the funding norms do not bring any additional or new funding, it will assist to close gaps in the following areas which are not being addressed in the current interim funding norms. The first one is fairness and equity, to ensure equitable distribution of funds across all our CET centers. Second one, the effects of the continued historical way of allocating to the different operational needs at institutional level. The fourth one, the need to uplift the standards in some colleges to ensure appropriate levels of functionality. Slide 37. In respect to the teaching learning support framework, the areas of monitoring and support will focus on teaching and learning in relation to student attendance, performance, and availability of learning and teaching support material. Two, student performance analysis of results to inform improvement strategies that are needed to be rolled out or developed. The third area is lecturer development and support reskilling, continuous professional development and training for unqualified and underqualified lecturers. The piloting, therefore, of the concept of community education and training 2019 marks the first year of piloting the concept of CET. The pilot project, therefore, will run for 5 years in 54 community learning centers across the 9 CET colleges, with a focus on the following areas: innovation and program diversification, in particular, introduction of skills programs, ICT infrastructure development, offering of programs through partnerships, amongst other things. Slide 32 is program 2, which is planning, policy, and strategy. So the objective of this branch really is to manage the provision of planning, policy, and strategy of key services for the system. The budget sub-programs is policy planning, monitoring and evaluation, international relations, legal and legislative services, social inclusion, program management as well. The key targets for 2019-20, Gazette proposed amendments to the National Qualification Framework Act for public comment. Gazette policy framework on gender-based violence in the PSET system. Members may have picked up that there are violent activities, especially targeting women in some of our institutions, and we're seeking with this policy to try to respond to those challenges and guide our institutions of what they need to do into ensuring that women are protected in the system at all times. 3, produce the following monitoring reports: national qualifications framework, social inclusion, implementation of open learning in PSET. Produce the following information and research reports in respect to report on skill supply and demand, report on statistics on post-school education and training, and have at least 2 new agreement in international scholarships with foreign countries. We have entered into quite a number of agreements with international countries to train in scarce and critical skills areas, but mainly in postgraduate areas. Slide 40. One of the things that the branch has prioritized is the development of master skills plan. The President has identified 9 key areas that require intervention and were required as a department to develop a skills plan for all those areas in order to support their implementation. To monitor, coordinate, and improve implementation of NQF Act, institutionalize the function of career development services, develop and implement the National Open Learning System for PSET, ensure that research, information, and analysis on PSET is used by the department to inform policy planning and other decision-making, ensure that international education opportunities and donor funding is secured, coordinate and monitor social inclusion in the PSET. Program one is mainly administration in the department. It's HR in the main, ICT support in the department. So really, it's in respect to management and administration of the department in the overall, the filling of vacancies, the resolving disputes, process valid invoices within 30 days, and ensuring that we get clean audit from AG and work out remedial plans thereof, and improve 95% of network connectivity uptime. Slide 42 is actually talking to the finalization of organizational structure and post-provisioning norms for TVET colleges, improve management practices, ensure alignment with the departmental performance automate business processes, enterprise content management, implement the ICT strategy with special focus in improving TVET colleges and implementation of a cloud-based IT examination system, implement communication policy and ensure corporate identity of TVET colleges, CETs, facilitate as well construction of the head office. The building we are at is quite dilapidated. Implement fraud prevention and ensure that we uphold appropriate and required ethics. Slide 43 is just talking to some of the achievements, Chair, in the department, of which perhaps members can look at them some other time. It's just a list of what we have been able to achieve. Now, slide 44 is in respect to the financial information, the estimate of national expenditure in the system, of which I would ask the acting CFO to take us through on this one. With your permission, Chair and the Minister.
Thank you. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. On slide 44, we've indicated that we will speak to the budget structure, the budget trends, and then obviously also the estimates of national expenditure that we abbreviate as E&E over the 2019 MTF, which is then the three-year cycle. On slide 45, the budget of the department consists of two portions. One is the voted funds, and the second in direct charges. The voted funds is the budget allocation through the National Revenue Fund, while the direct charges mainly consist in of skills levy revenue that is collected from the South African Revenue Services. And that is for funding of the CETUS and the NSF. Then below in that table is a reflection of the E&E for the 2019 MTF. And there you would see that the difference between the voted funds for the MTF and for the 2019-20, you would note it is for, it starts with 89.498 billion. And it goes to 2020-21 financial year of 104 billion. That is supplemented by the skills levy for the 3 years. And if you add in the skills levy with the voted funds, we have an indication of what the funds is for the structure for the department over the 3 years. And then for the 2019 to 2020, it's 108.256 billion, and then obviously for the 2021 and 22 financial year, it will be 126.689 billion rand. On the next slide, slide 46, the department's budget has increased on average at about 12.6% over the 2019 MTF, and it increased for the 2018-2019 financial year from 73 billion to become 104 billion at 2021-22. A direct increase, obviously, if you calculate that, that is indicative of about 43% from 2018-19 to 2021-22. The baseline of the budget for the department increased substantially from 2018, and this is mainly due to the rollout of the free fees higher education for quality poor, vulnerable and missing middle students, as well as the increased subsidies for universities and TVET colleges. We'll see more of that on slide 51. The baseline adjustments, and those are additional allocations, have also been indicated there from 2018-2019, where it started off as 12.36 billion and also it ends up to 29.54 billion in 2020-21 financial year. These adjustments form part of the allocation of the 2019 MTF baseline. On slide 47, the increase in the baseline is a positive outcome for the department, and it emphasizes the increase from 18-19 is primarily for the funding of the poor and missing middle student, as well as improved sector funding. It has resulted in an increase in the NSFAS funding that totals 103.393 billion. And you'll see the breakdown of that over the 3 years also in the slide to come, I think it's slide 53. The increase in subsidies of universities, we also speak of that as transfer funds, is a strong push towards the improvement of baseline funding of institutions. And a drive towards a sector funding as a percentage of GDP from 0.67% in 2017-18 to a 0.7% over the 2019 MTF. The TVET sector has also benefited from this additional allocation, mainly for infrastructure grant that amounts to 4.9 billion over the 2019 MTF. On slide 48, we gave an indication of the budget trends over the MTF, and you'll see for higher education, as indicated in slide 45, the budget that is starting at 108 billion in 2019-20, going up to 126.68 billion in the year 2021-22. And below that is an indication of the year-on-year growth. It was also, there's also comparison if GDP is in line 3, below that you would get an indication of what is an indication of the education percentage in relation to GDP, and it's in the region of just over 2% over the three years. The total expenditure also for education is indicated, if you look at 2019-2020, is at 381 billion. And the year on growth below that, you can see it is between 9.95 to 6.73%. More importantly for us is to look at higher education as a percentage of national expenditure, and you can see there also below it, it's between 15.81% in 2019-20, going up to 16.29 in the 21-22 financial year. On slide 49, this is also the budget trends and the skills levy. As we said, these direct charges or skills levy on the budget has increased at also an average of about 9.6% over the 1920 MTF, and it increased from 2018-19, which was 16.9 billion, that was before the appropriation, to reach about 22.3 billion in the 2021-22 financial year. Below that is an indication of the skills levy allocation, and you would have seen on slide 45 we had indicated to you the collective. If you look at 2019-20, it's a breakdown for the CETUS, which is just over 15 billion, and for the NSF it's 3.7 billion. So if you add that up, you get to the 18.7 billion which was spoken of in slide 45 formally. On slide 50, the department's budget is predominantly dominated by Program 3, which is for university education, it constitutes 82% of the budget in the 2020 financial year. And this is mainly as a result of subsidy payments, or like I said previously, transfers to the universities and to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. As a result, the budget is dominated by transfer payments, also of the economic classification of expenditure. We'll have also a slide on the economic classifications later. Normal operations activities funding remains still very limited. On slide 54 to come, you'll see it's very limited in relation to the budget. And all possible efforts are implemented to curtail expenditure to ensure efficiency and effectiveness, especially to monitor and evaluate control of our systems. The next four slides speaks to the breakdown of the MTF in terms of the program number one, secondly, the economic classifications, thirdly, the transfers, and the last slide on that one is in the operational activity as funded. Therefore, on slide 51 is an indication of the allocation per budget program. And these are the programs that DG alluded to at the beginning of the presentation. Administration, program 1, planning 2, universities 3, and they go on up until community or CETs. And there it's evident, if you can look at universities, how it dominates our budget. If you look at 2018-2019, you would note it was 59.250 billion, and it jumped considerably to 73.409 in the 2019-20 financial year. So also for the TVETs, they started off with, in the 2018-19, with 10.727 billion, and it substantially increases to 15.451 in the 2021 and 22 financial year. I have alluded to the budgets, which is the subtotal there. That's just a duplication of what we're in slide 45 of the total budget with the skills levy, which constitutes the grand total for our budget. If you go to slide 52, this is now the budget in terms of the economic classification. The adjusted for compensation of employers, the adjusted appropriation for 2018-2019, it's 8.9 billion, it's just wrongly spaced there, and it also increases up to about 11, just over 11 billion to the 2021-22 financial year. But you can also note there again, transfers and subsidies, which is predominantly the greatest expense or allocation over the financial year or the MTF. On slide 53 is then the detail of the transfer or subsidy payments. And if you look at the NSFAS as the first entry, under the MTF expenditure, you would note it starts with 30.822 billion and it ends at 37.256 billion. If you add those three up, you get to the 103.393 billion, which was spoken of in the previous slide. Again, you can see also, just to note, the universities of the transfers that's allocated to them that dominates the slide in terms of the figures there. And also, if you look at, again, the totals at the bottom spread for the MTF, starting at 79.185 billion, going up to 92.554 billion in the 2021-22 financial year. On the last slide, which is the budget for the current financial year, it's just a breakdown of the 108.257 billion rand. Under that is the direct charges or the skills levies for CETAs and NSF, which brings to a devoted funds to 89.498 billion rand. Here you also notice the transfers that we do to the entities, and that in total amounts to 79.186 billion. If you minus the compensation of employees, which is 9.6 billion, and the earmarked funds, which is in, for example, includes for office accommodation, in real terms the balance that we have available for operations only amounts to 602 million rand for the department. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair.
That was a marathon. I was trying to keep up with the pages and the slides and all, but thank you very much. We're going to have a very short discussion because we're running out of time. We've got two debates today, health and basic education. So, but I guess this is the beginning of many meetings that we're going to have. There are just lots of things that we need clarity on, but, and some of them will be the, what do you call this thing, the Ipsos and Ipsas and what all those names. So it will be a list explaining what the abbreviations mean. It will be very, very helpful so that we don't read forward and backward, because some of us were not necessarily involved in this in the past, in very many years. There are some, I don't know if to start with this, yeah, where there are percentages, you know. The slide 23, I think. Yeah, but if you say 77% of this, can we actually have a figure? What does it mean in real terms? What is 77% of what? and that will be very helpful for me going forward. That this is the beginning, and we're going to have many meetings going forward. Minister, we have just one thing in common as this committee and your team, that all of us have an oversight role to play on provinces, following the money, where if we transfer money to a province, to a particular university or college, we need to know, it needs to worry us. How is this money used? Are we getting value for our children learning? And are they learning the right things? And what is the impact of this learning on their lives? Is it changing behavior? You know, our intervention, does our intervention change behavior in areas? yeah, we can go on and on. But let me give a chance to members to engage briefly. We need to be out of this place by in the next 20 minutes. We need to be ready for the road, because our program is quite tight today. I hope the members will bear with me on that one. And thank you. Over to you now. Yes, sir. And,
thank you, Chairperson. A marathon presentation indeed. And we're trying to make sense of certain things. But I think that we should take up the offer that says that this is the first meeting of many, where I think most of the issues would have to be unpacked and simplified. My interpretation is not more about rands and cents, because I think there must be a political objective or an objective that needs to be achieved in the end. So my issues around that, not necessarily how much is going where and so on. Firstly, Chair, around the issue of, I think it's the University Capacity Development Program, where the department envisages to increase academia and improve and ensure that we don't find ourselves with a brain drain in terms of such. What I want to check is probably an issue that goes with it would be people are always enticed by income that they can get elsewhere, which might be better than what our institutions of learning are offering. How do we then intend to tie people that we assist up in order to make sure that we achieve our set goals? Secondly, Chair, there's a development of guidelines in terms of international scholarships. I wanted to check whether this is an interdepartmental exercise, or is it squarely put on higher education to come up with these guidelines, fearing the fact that in the end it might be higher education kind of imposing its will on other departments and have less cooperation thereof? Or so is it a collective exercise that is undertaken? The other one, I know that lately we haven't had much in terms of protests in our different institutions of higher learning. Is the department happy with how NSFAS is operating currently? Are there still shortcomings that might kind of put us back to where we were, where almost all our universities were on fire or were burning? And the last one, Chairperson, is around the CET colleges, where we say we want to broaden the scope of adult basic education and training to make sure that there's a skills element attached to it. I remember a few years ago, I've lost track of NSDS targets, indicators, and all those things, that CET has had one of their tasks was to take on board community-based organizations, work with those, and they were measured on it. And I know that ABET was also part of what CETAs were responsible for at some point. Now, are we partnering in these colleges with CETAs so that we kind of not overstretch the budget of higher education per se and tap wherever we can in order to assist us in reaching our goal, which is, I think, very important that some people don't want to be highly educated more than wanting to live and depend on themselves for livelihood. So I just want to check whether there's partnership in that regard or not. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister and team, for your presentation. I found it really interesting, coming from a higher education and TVET background. I first of all just want to make two comments. The first one is that I'm very pleased to hear that on the charts is autism increase. I think since 1991, it's taken a dip. And I'm very pleased to hear that the department is sharpening up that. I really think there is a shortage of bricklayers and electricians and so on. So I'll be looking forward to seeing the progress on our autism increase and what it can do for the country. And then the second comment that I want to make is with regard to capacitating our women with PhDs. I want to commend the department on that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the progress of that in the next 5 years. I'll definitely be watching it closely. It's very near to my heart, and dear to my heart, the capacitation of our women in the education environment. So thank you for that. And then I would like to, I have one concern, and my colleague has already raised it, and that is with regard to NSFAS management. Now, NSFAS has been under administration constantly in the past few years. Your CEO has been replaced a number of times. It's a serious red flag for me that we can't get the administration of NSFAS quite right. The funding process has now been changed, where students are now getting their money directly from NSFAS into their student accounts. And I don't know if the department sees that as a particular concern. What kind of monitoring is taking place to see to it that the student is spending the money correctly and not on anything else? In the past, the money was put into certain pockets for the student, one for books, one for course fees, one for accommodation, etc. What is in place to see to it that the student is spending that money correctly? The reason for my question is very simply, and that is throughput rate. Because I've noticed that one of your key elements is the throughput rate of students across higher education, TVET colleges and all that. And funding obviously has a direct impact on whether a student is successful. And if the student is not using the money correctly, it means that the student's throughput rate will be affected. So what impact is it going to have in the next 4 years? That the administration of NSFAS funding has been taken away from universities and that NSFAS is handling it, which is of particular concern because NSFAS's administration is not up to scratch. What processes are in place for the oversight of NSFAS? Is there a plan in place for us to see to it that NSFAS will eventually be run correctly? And then the second point is to do with TVET colleges. I have a particular concern there about outstanding certificates for a number of years. Since the inception of the NCV courses, it seems to me that there has been a delay in certification, especially of the NCV courses and especially at the exit level. The other concern is that at level 4, the certification rate seems to be very low. And this is a problem because it lives in with the idea of the increase in artisans. So if we're not getting our level 4s to exit the system, how are we going to increase our artisans? The N3 to N6 programs seem to be doing better, although there is also a marginal concern about certification. I would like to know what student support. I know that colleges have student support services. I know a lot of money has been plowed into student support services. But what real action can be taken to see to it that our students actually exit appropriately and actually get placed? Because you have a placement program as well, a job placement program. How are we monitoring that? I would like to see in the next 5 years what... the rate of that is. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is just one question. How many vacancies you have? And can you please tell us the time frame to fill the vacancies? Because to me, if we have this huge vacant post, I'm not quite sure we're going to reach what we want. Secondly, on your slide 37, you said you've got 54 community learning centers across the 9 CET colleges with a focus of the following. Can you please, not now, send us the list of these 54 community college centers for the purpose of oversight. The names and the provinces where they are. The last one, Chair, I'm not quite sure, CFO, whether I know or I don't know, or I understand or I don't understand. When you go to university, I'm not quite sure about this line, you give the universities a huge amount. In TVET colleges, it's a small. I'm not quite sure what's going on, because I thought they are in the same level to me. That's why I say I don't know whether I know or I don't know. Or university are more than TVET colleges. I'm not quite sure. If you can just explain on that. Thanks, Chair.
What is happening with free education? Where are we? Is this dream achievable, and how far are we with it? I know that in at high school, most of the schools are, I'll say 90%, more than 80% of schools are no fee schools. What is happening with universities, and do we have a plan? Because there was a announcement that education is going to be free. we know what happened in the last year with fees must fall and all. What is the progress?
Are you done, Chair?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
We
okay. Chairperson, given that we have 5 minutes, I'm not so sure how we deal with this. Whether do we even attempt to start providing, because each of these questions are very substantial. On our side, we have noted all these questions, but we stand guided, because I don't think that in 5 minutes we can be able to actually deal. We know also some of the questions are urgent, by the way, you know, on NSFAS and a whole range of other issues that you need to know and satisfy yourselves as to what is being done, including also the positive contribution also that you yourselves plan to do. You want to know where the CLCs are so that you can go and visit them, see for yourself, which is something that is most welcome. So I don't know, Chair, whether maybe there are possibilities of having a follow-up session where we are not going to make any presentation now, but we're going to just go straight into this discussion. I think that they are important. The second thing, Chair, it would also have been useful just on our side to get an idea from the side of the honourable members who have been in this sector and who is new. Because that gives us a sense of how much our approach to giving information, so that we are able to empower members as much as possible. As well, it would be helpful. Just on my side, I would really like to know that. But now, Chair, maybe let me leave it to my suggestion really is whether we shouldn't actually within the next week or two be seeking to find another 2 to 2.5 hours of just focusing on this, and then also any other issues that I would really look forward to that, and I think it would do justice that.
I think that will also work for us, Minister, because when I started the meeting, I said we should start from the beginning.
Yeah.
And starting from the beginning is that I take it that the majority of us are not teachers. And we were not serving in this committee before. And some of us are brand new members. In this sixth parliament, some of us are, this is our first time in parliament. So, yeah. And I think what I found useful is maybe that we plan to visit the department, you know. Go there and see what people do. Talk to people. What are the challenges that they are facing? Because part of what we need to do again also is to ensure that we are working with people who are happy, who know what they are doing. Some of the things, Minister, we may not know that people are back in Desert M17. And when somebody comes to talk to them, then you end up getting more than you bargain for. But at the same time, it helps you to write the things and make sure that those who are at the lowest level in the department don't feel neglected. I found it useful in the in oversight usually, but I think our oversight will be first to visit the your offices and even look at other things, you know, safety. There've been issues of safety in buildings of government buildings in Pretoria and other provinces. And in instances where there are problems, we can even ask assistance of the Department of Labour with their labour inspectors and all that to help and, you know, make sure that our when people go to work, they don't say, everybody needs to know that if I leave, I'm coming back between this and that time. But no building will collapse on me. Yeah, but apart from that, like I said earlier, that we do more or less the same thing, particularly on oversight. We play oversight on bond you, but we've got also an oversight role to play on people that we're giving monies to. So we are, as this committee will be following, where the money goes and ensuring that the funds, the budget are used for what they are meant for. But at the same time, check out the impact of these funds that we sent in provinces. How are they impacting on, you know, the general well-being of people in the province? The community education and training centers, these are very important, like you say, that, you know, there are people who, I know people in my village who have been fixing cars for more than 10 years and they've got no paper to show. And I'm a mechanic in my other life, and that there are lots of, there's somebody in Pretoria who is training. I think he's accredited by Mercedes-Benz. He's doing quite a good job. I don't know if you are linked to him, and he's training these people who are bush mechanics, and then from there give them the, you know, like this person was introduced to the engine of a 230 1972 Mercedes-Benz. He can assemble and disassemble and assemble the engine. So it's passed the competency test in this particular engine. And if somebody has a problem anywhere between Pretoria and Marble Hall, and you phone Mercedes-Benz, they'll say, no, we've got like his Kosana. He's at corner Senang and Zwang Street. This is his number. That person will give you a service. But I'm saying that those community colleges should be able to incorporate those kind of things. Exhaust. We've got lots of Mozambicans who are doing that in Soweto and other villages. And at least we need to have ours skilled and, you know, being given documents. So that you can go somewhere and say, yeah, I've got a certificate, I'm an exhaust welder. I can weld any exhaust of any car. It doesn't matter how sophisticated the car is. I went through training as a welder, different materials. I'm just saying that we need to, you know, this community, colleges need to be able to help us do that. And in areas and communities where there are mines, how will these colleges help people to be able to get jobs in those mines? You know, even if you know a cleaning certificate, nothing beats having a piece of paper to show that I sat behind a desk and I held a spanner with an advisor who is a teacher teaching me what to do. And I can confidently say that, yes, I'll be able to do this. This is just the beginning. We've got 5 years to go. We're going to be together for the next 5 years. So I don't mean that we should take it slowly, but I think we need to move a little bit faster. But at the same time, let's move at the pace of the slowest person and hoping that all of us will catch up quickly, and then we can all run at 70 kilometers per hour in the 100 kilometer zone. And thank you. I think that will be all from me for now, unless you there's something that members want to say before we close. Mama Shandon.
Thank you, Chair. Shambi, Umuntu would also like to stress, so with, since we're postponing this to another day, kungabi just a few hours, because Shambi, we will have more questions after we go through our documents. So, after 3 weeks from now, because some of the questions are urgent. That is my plea with you, Chair. Thank you.
Can I say we are not postponing the discussion? We say, because we had a discussion, the APP is presented, we engage with it, but what we're saying is that time is not enough. We need to focus on, so like, you know, take a certain program and say that take us through this program, you know. But we engage with the APP, and yeah, it was presented to us. Thanks.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I accept the proposal that as time is against us, we would not do justice to the presentation, as it were. And I think that maybe we should leave it to our committee management and the department to arrange time for us to have a session. However, what I also have in mind is that we will be debating this presentation in the House sometime. I would love to point out that I hope that will not prejudice the department. So as we set out time, let's be mindful that some of the issues that we sought clarity on will have a contribution in our debate in the House. So I'm just putting that in the mix as well, that we must just be conscious of it as we try to look for a suitable time and date for that discussion to take place. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Robert. An impression should not be created that there was no discussion and debate on this matter. Just my emphasis. We engage with the APP of the department. We've looked at the budget, but there are certain issues where we need more information. It's for our own understanding as people who are new to this sector and in this committee. and that meeting may not necessarily be discussing the APP. There are lots of other topical issues that we can, you know, go into theoretical discussions about what does this can do. The concept that I used here, because what people are using here when you listen is not just words. All words they're using are pregnant with meaning. And we actually need to unpack that so that we're at the same level when we discuss this. So unpacking the concept and having in-depth knowledge of what is actually happening in universities and TVs. What are the difference? The issue of NSFAS, we said it's every year there are uprisings in colleges and our old Pretoria, where again this TNT. I think the minister was from the last time, you know, every February you've got to be somewhere around Pretoria because there'll be rioting and all that. What causes this? Why is it happening in that area and not happening in other colleges in the Western Cape? Why having that in the Transvaal? You know, some of these things, as
a history to them, you know. By Pretoria, you've got big TNT as a feeder. It's a feed that gets feeding from villages. And in those villages, they are very poor communities. Varamba, they say, Limpopo, people from Mpumalanga and villages flock to that TVET. And obviously, there will be challenges of accommodation and funds and stuff. For me, that is minister to us.
Yeah. No, Chair, thank you. I would like to suggest, maybe just to build on what you are saying and what other members have said, that the programming side of the committee, together with the department and my parliamentary liaison officer, need to get together soon to take forward what we are saying, which is very clear. We might want, I mean, even the idea of visiting the department is very good. I've been involved in this before. It does help. I'm also aware that the portfolio committee in the National Assembly has also expressed similar interests. So where we can combine, we can. Where we can't, obviously, it won't always be possible because there might be different specific needs between the portfolio committee and the SEDEC committee. Maybe, why don't we say on your side and then side of the department and then specifically myself with my parliamentary liaison officer coming together very soon before the end of this week to come with a proposal. I am concerned, I don't know how to do about that because the point you are raising is valid, that ideally we should have even discuss some of these initial questions in the run-up to the budget vote debate so that members don't raise things out of the fact that maybe there wasn't enough information, you know, and so on. We'll have to see how we manage that, you know. But that would be my suggestion, Chair, that we just get the team to work very closely and they report back to yourself and ourselves as to what the plans are and see what we can put together.
We'll send some questions, further questions to the
yes.
through the committee secretary. So and then the answers can come in writing so that the answers can help us when we plan our debate. So particularly those questions that were asked in the meeting.
Okay.
Those need to be answered immediately in writing. Just get it. And
yeah.
then members are free to can add other questions to the through the committee secretary. So that we this meeting is urgent. May I ask the members to remain a little bit for our in-house bio banking?
Yes. thank you, Chair. Siabo.
We don't have time. The Pumas silently. We need to adopt the report. Honourable members, sir, please. We have to. Adopt the report of the Select Committee on Education and Technology, Sports, Arts and Culture.
on the budget vote and annual performance plan of the Department of Education and Training budget number 15 dated 17 July 2019. As Electromedia and Education, Sports and Arts and Culture, having considered budget vote 15 and annual performance plan of the Department of Education and Training, reports that the committee has concluded its deliberations thereon. Any mover? Go on, don't get.
I move the report to be adopted.
Any seconder? Yes. Christian. Yeah, Christian. I don't know what to say, Christian or Christian. there's a second, Christian is seconded. This meeting adjourns. We'll meet in the house. Bye, thank you.
Thank you.